Good evening, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, February 3rd, 2008. It's now about 8:01 p.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Now, on to our program. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Or email us at comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. He has a newsletter that's excellent, one which is a free subscription, and then he has a newsletter which is a one which you subscribe to. And I believe the first year is $49. Very well worth it. Please give that serious consideration and support Andy. He's doing a wonderful service for all of us. Well, good evening, everyone. I expect no one to be listening right now, because it's Super Bowl Sunday, and right now, the last that I checked, the Giants were pretty holding in there pretty firm at 3 points, with the Patriots only having 7 points. At this point, I thought it would be a 24-3 game in favor of the Patriots. The Giants are doing very well. Could you imagine if there was an upset? I seriously doubt it, but that would be absolutely remarkable for football people, I guess. And although I don't have time to watch football anymore because I have a radio station, and that takes up all of my time. This evening we have several subjects to cover. I will start with a couple of emails. The first one is from Jim from Tulsa, Oklahoma. It says, Joe, I share your frustration. I guess he's referring to the last broadcast. He says, I could not stomach to watch W's State of the Union address, and I criticized it because he was being dishonest and untruthful both ways. But I caught some of the post-speech comments like, in quotes, to be fair to Bush, we'll have to wait a few years to judge his presidency. What a bunch of crap. I feel like we live in the Twilight Zone. When will people wake up? Hang in there. Let's continue the fight, the good fight. Jim. Thank you very much, Jim, and thank you for those words of encouragement. Okay, let's see what else. We have another one. Now, this is an interesting one. This is from Howard. Howard, I don't know where you're from. You didn't indicate. But he says, I listened to parts of your show last Sunday and enjoyed it. Will not be able to listen to it tonight as I will be watching the Super Bowl. You have some tough competition tonight. Absolutely. I have to agree with some of your comments on Ron Paul, but I cannot support them. First, I do not agree with most of his ideas, and we cannot go back into an isolation policy. I will be voting for Romney on Tuesday. In the primaries, I cannot support McCain. They say McCain has the best chances of beating Hillary, but I must vote my true feelings and support Romney. McCain does have some good points and is very compassionate on some subjects, but his overall philosophies are not what I'm looking for in a president. I am very surprised by how well he is doing, particularly after the early polls showed him running very poorly. I do hope that Romney makes it, but if not, I will still prefer to see a Republican in the White House versus a Democrat. Hope to catch your show next Sunday again. Regards, Howard. Howard, thank you very much. Howard, I get comments like that very frequently. In fact, the comment that you make regarding Ron Paul being an isolationist, I think I hear that more than any other comment regarding him. Quite frankly, I don't know where that comes from. And I'm not certain if someone else tagged him with that particular philosophy during the debates, and it stuck. But he's not an isolationist by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, if anything, the others are isolationists. And let me explain this to you. Just because he wants to take our troops from around the world and bring them home and not interfere militarily with other governments and prop up dictators and stick our finger, our military finger, in everyone, every leader's eye around the world, does not make him an isolationist. In fact, by doing so, you isolate the United States, because everyone looks at us as the evil empire. In fact, what he is trying to accomplish is the exact opposite, Howard. He is trying to un-isolate us. Right now, we are the most different. We are the different. There's the United States and the rest of the world. And the United States wants to meld in. It wants to integrate with the rest of the world. And how better to do that than not be the military bully of the world? By us not being the military bully of the world, that gives us free rein for people in the United States, and without government intervention, people in the United States to trade freely with all the other nations. Now, since we are the economic superpower, or at least last that I checked, we were a superpower of the world, by not being the military bullies and by being the economic freewheelers that we are around the world, we would become the world's best customers. If we, in fact, Howard, are the world's best customers, who wants to screw with us? I mean, why would a terrorist, why would there be terrorists? Why would anyone want to harm us? What would be the motivation? Because we're free? Oh, poppycock crap. That means nothing. That's political rhetoric that we digest into our brains. We put it in our hard drive, emblazon it in our minds, and then we repeat it every time something comes up regarding terrorism. And he wants to eliminate terrorism, and I agree with him. I agree with him that if you take the position, like Romney does, that we need to fight terrorism on their soil, on our terms, but their soil, you are creating an isolationist policy. Because people will not want to trade with you. People will hate you in every country. Just like most countries today not only dislike the United States. And at one time they used to say, the people of the United States are really nice people. It's just their government that stinks, right? Now they're saying around the world, and this is a shame because surveys have been taken worldwide on this subject. They say not only does the U.S. government stink, but the people stink also. We don't like the people also. And the reason why they're saying that is because, and their justification is that we are the ones, the people are the ones that are electing those leaders that foster the policies of empire around the world, of being the military bully. And they're saying, if that's what the people in the United States want, we don't like them. Now, how could you foster, you know, cooperation around the world and not be an isolationist by doing exactly that? That's exactly what Romney is doing. And McCain even more so. Now, Romney has a problem. He has absolutely no idea economically where he stands. And basically, he violates most economic, basic economic principles. Put him in office, and I can guarantee you we'll have more of the same. Many of the things that he did in Massachusetts worked, and it only worked because they were economic failures, and the U.S. government bailed them out. If he's president and he does the same thing, and they become economic failures, which they will, there'll be no one else to bail us out, except maybe the Chinese. And they will buy us, and then they will sell us. So Romney's a bad choice. And Ron Paul is your only choice because he's not an isolationist. He wants to open up the United States to the rest of the world. I wish people would understand that. Howard, thank you very much for being a listener. Thank you for your comments. I hope you don't take this personally, but I hear that very often, and I hope I made a dent, you know, in your opinion. Okay? So we have those two emails. Now, I want to direct everyone to go to YouTube and look up George Carlin. there is a George, the comedian George Carlin. He has what I think is the quintessential answer, and something that I have been saying for years, but he says so eloquently, but he says in a way that is absolutely hysterical, right? We blame politicians, you know, for all of our ills. And what do you hear? Well, you know, I voted for so-and-so because he was the lesser of two evils. Well, if you voted for the lesser of two evils, if you voted for evil, how could you complain that that person's in office? You put that person in office. Well, you got to vote, you know. It's our responsibility to vote. Now, this is what the average, you know, lazy American, the lazy and sometimes stupid American says. You know, we got to vote. It's our responsibility to vote. I vote every time. You know, I always vote for the lesser of two evils. And you know what happens? All we do is get a lot of evil. I can't understand that. And that's exactly what we get. Well, when are people going to wake up saying, hey, you know, if there are two people, if we have, for example, an Obama or a Hillary, which we can classify as a Keynesian socialist, and we have a Romney or a McCain, which you would consider maybe military fascist, okay? Now, you have either one of those two in each side running against each other. Which one are you going to vote for, the Keynesian socialist or the military fascist? Well, I guess I got to take the lesser of two evils. Let me weigh that for a minute. I'll call you back in a few minutes. No, of course not. So it's your obligation as an American not to vote, to dissent. You need to protect the Constitution because neither one, the four front runners right now are not doing that, except for Ron Paul. Now, but, and he makes it, George Carlin, you got to look, listen to this video. Just go to YouTube on the internet. And he says, you know, if you have selfish and ignorant citizens, you get selfish, ignorant leaders, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Maybe it's not the politicians that suck. Maybe it's the citizens. And you know how George Carlin talks, if you listen to him, you know, he says, I've solved the problem. I don't vote. And I agree with that. I know that sounds anti-American, but that's very American. You are protesting. You are protesting because you're not going to vote for people who are unqualified to run this country. All right? He says, if you vote, you don't have, you have not a leg to stand on. You cannot complain. And he says, when people say, well, you got to vote or don't complain, where's the logic in that? If you vote and you vote for lesser of two evil and then you complain, you voted for him. And I've been saying this for years, and it's so funny that George Carlin put it in a comedy skit and said it so much better than I ever did. That is great. Go to YouTube and watch him. And by the way, I mentioned Andy Sutton's website. I really mean that. He has a blog, a blog talk radio. He has a segment on there, and he has his economic forum where he calls it Economic 411. And he's fantastic because what he does, he takes things in plain English and says, this is what's really happening. And the average Joe Blow, he's an economist. I mean, the guy's got degrees in the whole bit, way higher than mine. And he understands what's going on. I understand him. Some people I don't understand. And I do encourage you to listen to his radio broadcast, his Blog Talk Radio. It's My Two Cents. And also subscribe to his newsletter, and especially his paid newsletter, which is very, very good. And he gives you some solid advice on what to do with your money. This guy knows where it's at. Unfortunately, I hope he's not right, because if he is correct, we are in much deeper trouble than we had ever suspected. Unfortunately, I suspect he is right on, folks. Right on. All right, we have a 45-minute show tonight, and we have no one calling in. What a surprise. I wonder if people are listening to the Super Bowl. How dare they listen to the Super Bowl and not listen to Liberty Talk Radio? It's a lot more important, folks. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I know most people will be listening to this after the Super Bowl, and I hope people around, I know people around the world listen because I get emails from around the world. But you know, every country is obsessed with its sports, and I think it's a conspiracy against the masses, because quite frankly, you know, I want to see the Giants win because I'm originally from New York and I have a soft spot for the Giants. I don't follow football anymore. I mean, I'm not an avid fan, but I'd like to see him, and I'd love to see him spoil the Patriots streak. It would do me fine. But anyway, but that's just personal preference, and I'm being honest with you. But it doesn't make any difference when people say, oh, you're going to watch Super Bowl? I said, no, I don't have time. I have too much work to do. I have radio broadcasts. They said, how could you do that? I said, what do you mean I can do it? I said, I'm not going to do it. They said, don't you know how important it is? I said, no, I don't. They go, it's the Super Bowl. I said, so? They go, but the Patriots are going for a perfect season. Yeah, so? But don't you know what that means? No. I can't believe you're not going to watch it. Believe it, I'm not going to watch it. I did ask my wife to turn it on and just give me the score. It was 7-3 when I started the broadcast. And I said, you know, when you really think about it, it's just a diversion. If the Giants win 100-0 or the Patriots win 100-0, what difference does it make to me and my family? Nada. Nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It's just another TV program that we are watching, right? And it's consuming our most valuable asset, and that is time. Folks, we need to be more sophisticated, more adult than that. We need to be more intelligent than that. Now, by no stretch am I saying if you watch a Super Bowl, you're stupid. No, I mean, I've watched I've watched dozens of Super Bowls. They're fun to watch. But when there's work to be done, there's work to be done. Super Bowl, be damned. But it's the general mentality of the United States, of U.S. citizens, that we preoccupy ourselves. Like George Collins says, you know, we go to the mall, we're too busy, you know, scratching our behinds, you know, taking our wallets out, buying Nikes that light up, you know. And he says, we're too busy doing that rather than thinking about what's really important to us. And he's absolutely correct. You know, when he gave this, I watched this on YouTube, he sounded really angry. And people were laughing. He got a standing ovation because he was right. You know, and he says, you know, politicians don't suck. He says, maybe it's the people who vote that suck. And the people stood up and applauded him. You know, I think they actually knew, hey, he's talking about me, and he's right. You know, for him to get across those people in that way, I think is near miraculous. Of course, most people would say that we get booed off the stage. He received a standing ovation. Folks, let's not be sucky. Let's start using our heads, our critical thinking. Let's not just regurgitate what we hear. Ron Paul is an isolationist, so I'm voting for Romney. Please. I've heard that 100 times. I'm so sick of hearing that. And that couldn't be further from the truth. But that's what you hear from TV. We watch TV, and TV becomes us. Isn't that something? George Orwell, 1984, how right could you be? All right, now, I also have an apology to make. I received email or a call, and I'm not sure what it was, but I received something that said, I should not apologize for being an American. And I was chastised for that by one of my listeners. And I think that person was right. Oh, by the way, folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I know this is Super Bowl weekend, and I know this is probably the game is almost coming to a close now. But if you are not watching the game and you are listening, it's 646-652-4620. Please call in. We have 5 open lines tonight. And we do have another 25 minutes to go. I want to apologize for saying that. I think this person was absolutely correct. I should not be ashamed for being an American because an American is a patriot and a revolutionary, and that's exactly who I am. And those people that I am ashamed of are not Americans. Oh, they call themselves Americans, but they've really turned out to be just sheep. I should have said that I am ashamed to be part of a society that thinks so little of itself individually that we acquiesce to political rhetoric for our salvation. That's what I should have said. To that, I am ashamed for saying that. So I want to apologize, and I forgot, I want to give credit to the person who told me that, who mentioned that I should not have been ashamed to be an American, but I'm sorry, I don't remember, and I don't have the sheet of paper in front of me, you know. This morning on Book Notes, of course, I listen to the most, you know, fun things on TV, but Book Notes, there was a Colonel Randall Larson, retired. A book that he wrote is called Our Own Worst Enemy. He travels around the country, speaks to government agencies, private agencies, regarding the terrorism. And he made an excellent, excellent point. And that point was this. He said, you know, he talks about how to prevent a terrorist attack from occurring again. And he said, a terrorist doesn't have to come to the United States, you know, to create a havoc. He said, if they had a nuclear device of, geez, any size, they can detonate it 10 miles offshore. If it went off, it would contaminate the coast. It may not kill as many people, but it would create the same havoc. And he's right. You know, they can set off a bomb way above us, or even past the, is it the 3-mile limit these days? 3-mile limit, I guess. You know, international waters, and we would be toast. He does mention that we've made practically no progress whatsoever, you know, in our ports of call to shore up what we, you know, our ports of entry and all that. He says, We still have no plan should there be an attack. Anthrax, if there was an anthrax outbreak, he said, no way we can tackle it. We're totally unprepared. I mean, it was really bleak. And he said, you know, the highest priority right now is to locate easily attainable banks of enriched uranium and bombs and whatever. And it was biochemical. And he says, that's on the nuclear front. And he says, because they can easily find the stuff and get it and come over here. But he said, you know, even if they don't come over here, even if they're in the Middle East and they wanted to cripple the United States, all they would have to do is detonate a device close to, not even at, but close to the oil wells or the bulk tanks, bulk storage tanks around Saudi Arabia, Dubai, or any of those places. Very easy to get to. I mean, they don't have to be there. They can be next door. They can be in another place. They can be in the middle of the desert and detonate a device. And that would render all that oil unusable, and it would be catastrophic for the world. The United States would go in deep depression. There would be panic and chaos worldwide. Now, that's occurring, not here, but on the soil, on Arab soil. I mean, he made an excellent point. Never thought of that. Colonel Larson, good point. Now, I didn't read the book, but I think this is a point that he did not make, or I didn't hear him make, and if he does, then I apologize. But I don't think he makes this point. He talks about things that we should do, steps that we should take to thwart the onslaught of terrorism. And one thing people don't mention is that we do not have enemies. We make enemies. Now, that's the words of Ron Paul, and I agree. We do not have enemies. We make enemies. Why was it that in World War II, Switzerland stood there in the midst of an entire war, and no one attacked Switzerland? And Switzerland was a free nation, right? Had all the money in the world. All the banks were there. Nobody touched it, not even Hitler. And Hitler was right next door, could have rolled right into Switzerland in a day or two, taken over the entire country. But he did not. You see, Switzerland doesn't make enemies. Switzerland's neutral. Interesting, isn't it? You know, why isn't the the country of Greenland concerned about terrorism as we are. Maybe they are, but not to the same extent that we are. What about Iceland? How about Scotland? What about Norway? You know, and my point being is that we don't have natural enemies. You know, a good portion of the people that are in, the Islamic people are really moving outside the Middle East and looking for opportunity in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and the United States. They're not coming here to bomb us, to convert us. Now, they would like to be left alone to practice their own religion. But, you know, folks, you know what happens? After that, you know, even though most fundamentalist people, the fundamentalist Jews came over, they became Reformed Jews, or conservative Jews, then Reformed Jews. Now they're Jews in name only. I mean, people tend to, you know, shed all that old world stuff, and it may take a generation or two. Let's allow that to happen. Let's allow it to take its natural course. Maybe it won't happen. But those people who come here who are fundamentalist Islamic people who feel that everything should be according to Islamic law, I mean, their kids will grow up and they'll have some of that, but they'll say, hey, Dad, you know how kids are. Hey, Dad, you know, that's kind of stinky, you know. My friends in school, blah, blah, blah. You know, of course, he'll get, you know, punished for it probably the first time around. But after a while, he'll get up and he'll respect his father's wishes and whatever. And then what happens, it just sort of ameliorates itself. That's what happened to everyone who came here. No one came here to be a terrorist, because we didn't tell them what to do. Now, we didn't give them anything. 100 years ago, when people came over here, if they came here and they didn't produce, they starved. My father was one of them. My father, he polished pianos in a Polish piano factory. And he said, at the end of every day, they beat him up. Of course, he was the fastest polisher there was. And he used to do it fast because he was afraid of losing his job, because he was the only Italian among the Polacks. Polacks, is that a bad word? I don't know, is that a slang? Well, amongst the Polish people. And I didn't mean any disrespect. But, you know, and there he was. And he told some stories about that. And if he didn't go back to work the next day, he just didn't have a job. There was no unemployment. There was no welfare. There was no food stamps. There was nothing. He tells a story about his future mother-in-law, lending him $14 and never making him forget it. She always reminded him that he was basically no good because he had to borrow $14. And from that $14, he built his own business and became successful, with not a dime from the federal government, a help from no one, and he hardly spoke English. Folks, we have people on welfare who speak English, who have American educations, and refuse to do anything. Angers me. Okay, anyway, I thought that was a good point. Now, before we get on religion and politics, I'm going to talk about that for about 10 minutes. I want to talk a little bit about the political rhetoric that we're hearing. I'd like to read something from Richard Ebeling. He's the founder of the Foundation of Economic Education. And he says, there has been no greater threat to life, liberty, and property throughout the ages than government. We often forget the fundamental truth that governments have nothing to spend or redistribute, that they do not first take from society's producers. Now, if everyone in our government-run schools was given this article, and it's a fabulous article, it's called Government, Fiscal Responsibility, and Free Banking. If everyone in school was meant to memorize that, our society may be altered in time. But they don't. They make sure that they don't read things like that. Oh, I want to read a quote before I go any further. It says, war paralyzes your courage and deadens the spirit of true manhood. It degrades and stupefies with the sense that you are not responsible. Remember, you are not responsible. that 'tis not yours to think and reason why, but to do or die. Like the 100,000 others doomed like yourself, war means blind obedience, unthinking stupidity, brutish callousness, wanton destruction, and irresponsible murder. Alexander Bergman. And by the way, a lot of this comes from, this came from the Information Clearinghouse newsletter of January 31st, 2008. The Information Clearinghouse is excellent. Subscribe to it and please donate generously to them. They perform a great service. There's an article by Lou Rockwell, Llewellyn H. Rockwell Jr., by the way, is his full name, and he is the founder or executive director of the Von Mises Institute, and he gave a speech at the Mises Circle in Houston in 2008, and he talks about the stimulus package and economic growth and whatever, and I want to talk a little bit about that because we hear so often how compassionate, you know, Hillary Clinton is and how compassionate Obama is, including Romney and McCain. They can't give the money away. They can't give enough away fast enough. And this all centers around that. He said, here he says, what brought about economic growth, inflation, or the business cycle in China? Listen to this. In China, in 300 B.C., what brought about economic growth, inflation, or the business cycle in China, 3003, are the same institutions that drive phenomena in the United States in A.D., or after the Common Era, 2008. The circumstances of time and place change, but the underlying economic reality is identical. He goes on to say, no matter where or when, the essential prerequisite for economic growth is capital accumulation in a framework of freedom and sound money. The consequence of price control is shortage and surplus. The effect of money expansion is inflation and the business cycle. The effect of every form of intervention is to make society less prosperous than it would have otherwise be. This is an excellent article. It's the title of the article is Government the Destroyer. Everyone should read that, including all the kids in school. I mean from kindergarten, not kindergarten, but from grade school all the way up. He also talks about that, about the broken window analogy, where if someone, kid, let's say, inadvertently breaks a window by batting a ball through it, you know, and that spurs economic activity. So you cannot have economic activity when you are destroying society. And when you break someone's window, you've broken something that's owned by someone of society. And he makes an excellent point. This is an excellent article. You should read the whole thing all the way through. Candidates are concerned about those people who are losing their homes, and they want to do everything that they can to prevent people from losing their homes. There's 97,000 people like that in California alone that apparently whose houses are who may have to go up for auction. Folks, I want to ask a question. Who are these people? You know, whenever politicians talk, they talk in generalities. And it really bothers me because you never know who they're talking about. The poor. Who are the poor? Is that the people who are just lazy bums? They don't want to work and that's why they have no money? I mean, I don't know who they're talking about. Or they're talking about the unfortunate person who is crippled and can't get out of the house. I mean, they don't define who that is. I want that defined before we have a conversation. And when they talk about the people who are losing their homes because of the resets on their mortgages, think about this for a minute. For the most part, these people were those who should never have been in those houses in the first place. They may not have had jobs, or if they did, the jobs were insufficient to support a $575,000 house and $3,000 a month mortgage payment. So they were in those houses because they were given interest-only mortgages, for example. And so their payments were incredibly low. So they lived the price, life of Riley for a couple of years, living in a beautiful neighborhood that they normally could never afford or never retain to afford, not with what they're currently doing. Right? They would have to really change their lifestyle or go back to school or get better jobs or become more productive or do something. And they lived the good life in those homes for 2 years at the banker's expense. Now the banker said, hey, it's time to cough up, and they couldn't, and they had to leave. People said they're losing their homes. They're not losing their homes. They simply rented those places for a short period of time. They just rented the places from the people for a short period of time, and now it's time for them to leave and go into an apartment. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not that these people put all of their money down on the house and were making reasonable payments, and then all of a sudden the bank came by and said, oh, we're going to triple your mortgage payment. No, that's not the case. These people didn't sit down. They were not qualified for these houses. They did not take 20% down. They didn't put down $100,000, $200,000 on these $600,000 homes. Well, they didn't put $50,000 or $100,000 on a $400,000 home. They put nothing down. They had nothing to lose. Now, the politicians know this. So what do? In order to become electable, they say they want to protect all these people, and they're going to assist on, you know, mortgage freezes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in reality, who are they protecting? They're not protecting the people. They're protecting the banks. And the banks are run by the money changers in this world. They are protecting the money changers, the bankers, not the people. We shouldn't let them do it. We look at that all wrong. And then the stimulus package. On my2centsonline.com, Andy Sutton asked a question. He says, where is the money going to come from? He says, an answer there would give me an idea of how much inflation to expect so I could plan accordingly. And then he goes on to say, number two, what will the curtain call be when the helicopter drop doesn't fix, he says the helicopter drop number one, this is number one, doesn't fix the problem. This isn't 2001 anymore. Things have changed dramatically. One shot of free money isn't going to take care of it this time. I hope they are prepared for more rounds of rebates. If that is the method they are going to use to solve the problem, then it'll take much more than $600. He's absolutely, where does this money come from? I mean, the politicians are saying, well, we have all this money in reserve that we took from you. We're going to give it back to you. No, this is money that they took coercively in the first place, spent it, and they not only spent our money, but they spent trillions of dollars more. We're in debt to $9.3 trillion. Where's this money going to come from? By printing more money. We print more money. Who's going to pay for that? We are going to pay for the $600 through inflation. And we're going to pay taxes on it. Listen to this. We're going to pay taxes on the $600, and then we're going to get it. We're going to pay back in inflation also. We're going to get hit twice. All right? Enough of that. I want to talk about religion and politics. Jeez, we only have about 5 or 6 minutes to go. Now, here's my point. I went to a caucus on Tuesday evening, Republican caucus, got invited, don't know why, but I went. I'm registered Republican because of Ron Paul. Otherwise, I am a typically registered independent. And I went there out of curiosity. In fact, we got there half hour late, and I thought, well, geez, you know, they're not going to let us in. The place is going to be jam-packed because I know how politically active everyone is around this neighborhood. And I said, geez, we'll never get in. We got there, and there were only five people there. It was held over this fellow's house, who was the precinct chairman. And they hadn't even started yet, and it was 7:30. It started at 7 o'clock. My wife got home late from work, so I was waiting for her. And we very quite frankly thought we would get there and be turned away, and we wouldn't have been upset. That would have been, you know, understandable. But they were so happy that we were there, and they said that usually they have these things and only two people show up. Now, a caucus, all a caucus is a meeting at the lowest level to discuss the rules and regulations on how things are going to run during the local Tulsa convention, and to go over the platform. Well, they handed out the platform, and now they have the first page is a summary. It gives the general gist of things, and first item they had was inconsistent. In one line, it said that, well, we're going to have, strict adherence to the Constitution, blah, 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 you know, all the nice words. And then another one has, in fact, I don't have it in front of me, I'm going by memory. And then they said that they're going to, interpret everything according to Judeo-Christian ethics or values. And then, of course, before that, they talk about, you know, it's all-inclusive, you know, regardless of race, color, creed, and whatever. So I said, excuse me, I have no problem with this other than that, you know, once you say, you know, you include everyone, then you say Christian, Judeo-Christian, values. I said, what about the people that you want to include who are not Jews or Christians? Everyone got really super upset. I mean, very upset. And they said, well, and they went, don't you believe Jesus Christ is Lord? I said, no, this is not my question. I said, how do you say we're going to be all inclusive and then you exclude people who don't even know? I mean, if you are a Muslim or you're a Buddhist, you may not know what the Judeo-Christian ethic is. So what do you have to do? Study it in order to know whether or not you're going to be a Republican? I said, I think that's ill-placed. And then they had something in there about the fear of God. I go, well, what about the 30 million atheists and agnostics we have in the United States? Well, you know, one person said, well, they can move out of the United States if that's the way they feel. You know, real stupidity. I tell you, I thought that I didn't lose it. I just got almost a fever sitting there because I was constraining myself. And I walked home totally, totally discouraged. Folks, that is the problem when you mix religion and politics. And it's wrong. It is very wrong. And they said, well, you know, you need to have religion in order to know it's right. Well, that's not right either, because there's more harm was done in the name of religion than anything else in this world. But that's another story. I mean, I don't even want to go there. My point being is that if someone is religious, and if our founding fathers were religious, which they weren't, but if they were, then things that you do in your actions should reflect that, be manifested in the way you act. You don't have to write it down. And they couldn't see that. No one in the meeting, there were, other than my wife, there were five other people. Not one of the five could say, hey, at least that's a valid point. Not one. They all got angry. Let's make sure that we never mix religion and politics, because it gets really stupid. And it becomes inconsistent, and people vote for the wrong reasons. They'll vote for Romney because he's the same religion. I'm sure that anyone who is not a born-again Christian or real fundamentalist Christian or whatever, and even believe, and assuming they don't like Romney at all, they would still vote for him because he's a good Christian. You know, things like that. It's stupid. It's irrational. It's illogical. But, you know, as George Carlin said, maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe it's the people. I tend to agree with him. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Rant Shakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, folks, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, and that'll be Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. for our live broadcast. This broadcast will be repeated 24 hours a day, all the way through Thursday morning at 6:30. You know, until next time. Stay well. Stay tuned.